Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley, and I'm so excited to start a deep dive journey with you all around advancing prefab or advancing prefabrication right here in Denver, Colorado. We had a lot of hype around this, and this conference season, as we unpack all of the different travels, where I was only able to attend the first day, so I got to see the big picture, which was what Devin loves, and then the riches and the niches. We had Art of Construction Master Facilitators Matt and Ian attending the whole conference, and we had an event that night with our good friend Audrey Grubesic of Offsite Dirt. So putting these master facilitators together, and the hard part about these conferences is it's so much at once, and then there's three at the same time, right? So I went to the first day to that conference. The next day I flew to the International Builders Show, and we're tying all this stuff back together with the master facilitators that Matt met at Advancing Prefabrication in Denver, Colorado. So today I'm teeing this thing up to where we're going to begin with the end in mind on this deep dive series with Adam Ketterer and his partner Lonnie Cumpton, who started AEC Inspire. And so along this journey of this deep dive series, I always talk about with the master facilitators, I didn't start this, and this is not Devin Tilley's podcast brought to you by whoever pays the most to sponsor it. I passionately have been on this journey since the beginning, and we're closing in around this deep dive series. We're going to be hitting this elusive number of 350 podcasts over the last 10 years. And why I lead that up is to say I've been on this quest, and I have to start off by a quick little story of saying yesterday I had the pleasure of doing two pre-interviews, pre-interviews and actual podcast recording. And the way this stuff works of how podcasts are made, if you do it well, you have to really have a pipeline. And one of the interviews we did yesterday was with Jared Levy, who was the founder of Connect Homes. And he was the last podcast I did with our offsite solutions master facilitator, Jason Blanker. And we got to the end of it, and every single recording I'm doing or every conversation right now, the new buzzword is AI. And everybody talks about, how do I use AI? What software? What do I do to get that? And I'm so jazzed for this podcast because it was actually the total opposite of all that stuff. And what my good friend Ross Cohen of DL Cohen, when we were at Miter Brands Factory a couple weeks ago, he's always talking about, he stands up and says, you got to meet the people, the businesses, and most importantly in construction, the municipalities where they are. And yesterday at the end of the podcast, it was like, there's got to be some kind of software, some kind of 4D, 5D, blah, 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 all these things to say, how does AI work? And the thing that the AI is going to fix is this front end stuff of how to help the people, the businesses, the municipalities meet you where they are by being code compliant. Because that is so hard to put all that stuff together. But first, what you have to do is you have to go back to the analog and get the subcontractors to understand two-dimensional stuff to pass it along and be on the same page of these data sets. So I'm going to get off my high horse because I'm so jazzed because we have 2 years. We got to listen more and talk less. I'm going to turn it over to Matt McMullen, who I'm so honored to be our guest co-host at Advancing Prefabrication, to begin with Adam Ketterer, who is the co-founder and senior sales director at ANC Inspire. And then we're going to be ending with Lonnie Cumpton, who is his partner. And he talks about how Lonnie is the guy in the trenches going to these factories and closing out of this deep dive. Matt McMullen, I'm so excited to have you here. What is the main message and the benefit of listening today?
Well, hey, Devin, just before I start, you know, whenever you blow out the birthday candles, people always ask you, what did you wish for? And here it is, man. I can now tell people it was to be on here as your co-host. Hey, so main message today, speaking with Adam. Adam did this Tech Slam presentation at right after the plenary session at Advancing Prefab Conference in Denver. And it was really interesting. Like, I learned more in 10 minutes than I did in other, some other parts of the conference. It was the most effective, like, tech pitch slam I've ever seen in my life, where we're sitting there and we're like, there's no way this dude can make it through this material in 10 minutes. And he, like, smoked it. The other thing was, when he did his presentation on his software application, it was like a movie trailer of MEP, you know. And I know I can speak for every architect when you say that the highlight of your day is to spend time with MEP subcontractors, specifically on the project. To me, it's what I look forward to. I barely can sleep the night before. The basic message that we're going to leave our audience with is that this is a software application that Adam and Lonnie have created that will be of incredible interest to our electrical and mechanical subcontractors, mainly electric, but there is going to be mechanical coming. So having said that, let me tell people a little bit about Adam Ketterer. So when you read his business card, it says Adam Ketterer MBA. But I said, you know what? Actually, let me reverse that around. I think it's ABM. He's a bad man. And the reason is this guy is a superstar and superhero, and he's really putting the E in AEC. University of Missouri, Columbia grad. So, you know, it's my Big 8 days, you know, had a lot of friends in Missouri, great university. As Devin said, co-founder and senior director of sales for AEC Inspire. And then another thing I think that's interesting is their slogan is verify, quantify, and integrate. And if you think back to the saying that people have, trust and verify, if you can verify, quantify, and integrate, that really should inspire trust. The other slogan that they have, they say, we help electrical contractors make more money. I mean, good God, what can you not love about that slogan? And then the final piece that he talks about is software is an advanced construction material takeoff, detailing, and management technology. So we look forward to meeting him. And Devin, I'm going to throw it back to you. Just give your perspective on what it is that you want to get out of this conversation today.
Yeah, and I'm super excited to listen and have the Art of Construction tribe in more conversational format, because we really challenged Adam to say Matt's big takeaway was his 10-minute presentation. The thing that I love about mixing podcasts with events that have presentations is that it's this conversation of construction has to be able to communicate, to listen, and be heard. But a lot of this stuff is one way, right? And my big call to action for everybody listening to this, to where we have so many people listening and the Art of Construction podcast is really gaining a lot of traction, but you listen and you move on. I'm going to really challenge you all to listen and move into the Art of Construction Master Facilitators program, because I was blown away during the pre-interview how he presented the riches and the niches about building a platform, about meeting subcontractors where they are. The thing that was really key is that he didn't just say, I got all subcontractors, I have all the software, I have all the stuff. It was, no, we help electrical contractors make more money. And you know what happens after he actually helps electrical contractors make more money? Then he can actually have a viable product that can help mechanical and plumbing. And then a guy like me who owns a window and door company saying, holy smokes, the digital kit of parts for a window and door company, we could stack on top of that. And that's what the Art of Construction Master Facilitators program is for, to take from this kindling. So my perspective is, I'm just saying, I'm a kid in a candy store here. I'm listening to say, days can be long, but the years are short. And a few just, you know, short years from now, after Adam has all the electrical contractors dialed in and into the Master Facilitators program, then we'll help each other move on to the next thing. So that's really where I was blown away by. But I'm super excited to have a lifelong learner kind of leading this conversation, who truly is the A of the AEC, the architectural part that I've went on a deep dive journey the last 5 years to say, how do we begin with the end in mind? Instead of everybody bashing each other of the gooey middle of the subcontractor saying, none of these plans work. Matt, what's your perspective to this?
You know, I just want to piggyback on kind of what you said is just getting to know Adam a little bit here. I was incredibly impressed. And, you know, though I made the joke a little bit about subcontractors earlier, they are our trusted partners. The design is just one thing, but the execution is everything. And I always say that whenever I'm on a job site is I talk to the subcontractors and say, you know what? We just drew it. You guys are building it. You guys are the most important part. And to see Adam do this platform that can have multiple applications, you just said, Devin, Devin is super powerful. And so I can't wait to see what he takes on next. Because this is really coming from a founder that's lived the problems and now he's creating the solutions. So having said all that, and building up the anticipation, we're now going to go to Adam Ketterer. So we're going to jump into our speed round here. Adam, welcome to Art of Construction Podcast. What is your favorite beverage?
Matt and Devin, thanks for having me. Favorite beverage is water and coffee. So I have two, and I drink them equal parts in the morning, and then afternoon it's just water. But yeah.
It was beautiful about that, like coffee and water, they go together really well, I've heard.
Yep. And I might drink a beer in the afternoons playing some softball or something with my buddies. But for the most part, it's coffee and water all day, every day.
Sounds good, man. Hey, so what is the favorite place that you have traveled?
This was an easy one for me. My family used to travel to Detroit Lakes, Minnesota in the summers, and we went to Fair Hills Resort. So it was a neat little family-friendly. You know, you live in cabins and you've got events all day for the little kids, the middle-aged kids, the teenagers and the adults. So it's just a great thing to put the technology aside and be outdoors and be together. It's a wonderful little resort.
So from that place, do you have like a Dirty Dancing story that you can tell us
not
about?
Not really. No. There's a hootenanny and some other cool stuff, but it's kind of just, it takes you back a few years and everybody's got a little golf cart driving around and it's just so much fun. But yeah, any stories like that are for after the podcast.
That was just in my mind. I was hearing that song, you know, I had the time of my life, you know. Hey, so final question here for you. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena? We passionately call the art of construction. What do you do?
Yeah, I love sports and I've got four kids and they're all into sports. So I love coaching and I coach kids, you know, and then when I try to take that to the business arena as well, because when you take on a project, it's all about the team. It's how can you do your job well to set the next person up for success. So it's that's a great mentality I try to bring to every aspect of my life.
It's an honor to have you here, and we're excited. Go back and really, you got to find the pain before you build a software, and then, you know, what is the problem you're out to solve? But I think you kind of have to live construction to really become a master of facilitators and kind of come from the inside out. Adam, what is your story that led you to be the co-founder and senior sales director at AEC Inspired?
I'll keep it as concise as possible. You know, Grandpa founded KB Electric in 1948 when he got back from World War II. So when I turned 18, I became a summer helper in Local 1 in St. Louis, Missouri. And the first delivery I made to the job site, I had to put the component parts on the tailgate of the truck and just stand there as this electrician came out and got each of those boxes one by one. And I got back to the office and said, Uncle Steve, I can do this so much faster. He's like, no, you can't. You leave it on the tailgate. That is their job, and they will bring it in. And don't screw this up, kid. I said, yes, sir. So fast forward a little bit. I graduated college. I went to work for my father. He had started a distribution and publishing business. And we were a million-dollar company going after billion-dollar competitors. And we were able to beat them by implementing rudimentary software. It was just some basic software, did a bunch of math for us and told us how many books or how many magazines should go on that pocket in that shelf on that store. And so we were just being extremely as efficient as possible. And by using that software, we were able to, you know, grow double digits when our competition wasn't. And then we would get more shelf space for these national retailers around the country. Fast forward a few years, something called smartphones came out and people didn't need to buy magazines anymore. And then Amazon came along and started selling books. And so that company went away. And that brought me into electrical distribution because I lived in St. Louis. I knew distribution. I knew a little bit about electrical. And lo and behold, Graybar Electric is headquartered there. So I was brought into a fantastic organization in a really neat role. I had 5 roles in 4 years because I wasn't good at anything. They just kept moving me around to try to figure out, hopefully I'd be good at something. And in those roles, I was able to talk to thousands of contractors. And really just you doing what Devin said, you know, 2 ears and 1 mouth and just doing a lot of listening. And that's kind of the story of my career is finding really smart people and then just asking questions, taking notes, and then going back and thinking about what they said. And what I learned was, you know, one of my favorite questions was asking the contractor, how do you keep the office, the field, you know, the prefab shop and the distributor all on the same page? And they said, you pray. And I'm like, well, you can't really scale prayer. So what if we built some software to do that? And they said, yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, you can't build it from a distributor because we won't want to be beholden to one distributor. So you're going to have to leave and do this. And so I luckily I had a fraternity brother invite me to go join Emerson Electric and sell some Wi-Fi thermostats to retailers because that's what I used to do for my father. And did that for a few years, and I got to meet a lot of really smart programmers helping develop Wi-Fi thermostats and applications to run them. And just that, it was my first exposure to developing software. And then one of the companies that I was working with at Graybar reached out and said, hey, let's build this software together. And that's how I got in the mix with my partners, Lonnie, and then there's 2 others that we haven't mentioned, Ashfaq and Abhishek. And they're just incredibly smart. One comes from a programming and development standpoint. Another one's from an engineering standpoint. So together, the 4 of us have a very well-rounded perspective of the industry and how to build software. And that's how we got here.
It's interesting to me, like how the connections that folks make. You know, you mentioned your fraternity brother. And I know, like, I personally do business with some of my fraternity brothers. And you're just never sure, like, when you're going to meet folks that will be an influence in your life. And speaking of influences, in the pre-interview, you and I are talking about things that influenced you. And one of them was a book by Daniel Kahneman, which is the book's called Thinking, Fast and Slow. And if people have not read that book, it's a great book. Daniel Kahneman is an Israeli-American author, but won the Nobel in 2002 in economic sciences. And when you read that book, really kind of the underlying, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but the underlying thing about that book is your mind jumps to what is the most comfortable in what it already knows, and that you will come to a conclusion that may not be the correct conclusion just because your mind wants to get there quickly. And so Daniel's hypothesis and assertion is you should slow down and look for the true insight. And so I kind of want to throw it back to you and just say, based on just what I said and what Daniel Kahneman's talked about, how did that influence AEC Inspire?
It really, you know, 2 principles I believe in are work hard, but also work smart. And oftentimes folks in construction are just like, all right, well, let's just get started. And that's great. You know, the people want to see boots on the ground. But oftentimes, if you haven't pre-planned that project, if you haven't been proactive and intentional about how you're going to build that project, there's a lot of simple things you can overlook that could have saved you a lot of time down the road. So, you know, my little brother's a journeyman foreman in Local 1 here in St. Louis, and he would describe that on a most jobs that aren't truly pre-planned to the nth degree, and we're talking branch wiring is traditional, an area where electrical contractors, you know, don't make money. Some people call it a donation to win the job. Or it's a lost leader. And the foreman on the job is being asked 100 questions a day, and they can't possibly think through these things, but they're also trying to figure out, what are my guys working on? What material have I already ordered sitting in the Connex or the laydown yard? What do I need to order? Write it on a scrap piece of paper, call it into the inside guy, hope he doesn't mess it up, and pray it shows up on time. And I'm like, man, if you're spending a third of every day figuring that out, what if you just spent a day and a half on the front end of the project using some software to truly plan that out? So it just comes down to people go to what's comfortable and what they know of just taking action and figuring it out on the fly, which is fast thinking. That's great. But if you just took a step back and said, hold on, let's think about this for a minute or two and let's make some some decisions on priorities and then start planning it out, you're going to have a much better product at the end of the day, because you're going to be able to pivot, because we all know projects are, you know, you have a plan, then you get punched in the face, and there's constantly changes on a project. So how quickly can you adapt to those changes is really what makes or breaks the profitability on a project.
I honestly, Adam, I'm so jazzed for this conversation, because you're really meeting everyone where they are. And I get multiple a week saying, can you talk about my software and this? And it's like what Jared from Connect Homes, where we recorded the podcast yesterday, talked about. He's like, first you got to find the problem and then create the solution. And there's so many people that are like, I have a solution, and they're trying to find the problem when it comes to technology and construction. And the reason I want to bring that up first is because, honestly, like, you got in the software, like, I am very anti-software on the podcast, because 9 out of 10 don't work. And we're trying to make global and timeless solve the problem podcast. That's why we spent so much work talking about your history and the problem that we're trying to solve. That's why I really pushed Matt to do that. But now hopefully people are here and as jazzed as I am to say, we're really onto something here. And it's not just the end all be all software that you have to move everything you're doing today to come into ANC Inspire. They're inspiring from the gooey middle, the MEP world, that is really the low hanging fruit. And there's so much stuff in the trenches. Can you talk about what your software, what it does? And when on the pre-interview, it really resonated to me of the kind of three levels of projects, how you talk about it.
No, great, great question. So this actually came from a conversation with my friend Eric Hogue at Commonwealth Electric. He and I talk almost every week. He does this hour and a half long drive from Omaha to Des Moines. And we talk on Thursday morning. So we were actually talking this morning before this podcast. And he dropped another little nugget of gold on me today. But he talked about three levels of projects. So level one is your service work, your quick turn projects you oftentimes don't have drawings for. And it's tough to implement prefab on those projects, but we can help. Level two is your bread and butter. It's the average project out there. You got 2D drawings, you know, you're going to build the project, and there's really no coordination, and there's no 3D requirements from the owner or the GC or the other trades. And then level three is there's going to be some coordination. There's a BIM model, there's 3D modeling, we're going to use Revit, we're going to figure things out. But in that level three project, what we've come to the conclusion is you should only model what needs to be coordinated so you can then build offsite. Because if you try to prefab before the model is coordinated, it's prefab at your own risk, because more than likely that's going to change. And then whatever you built and you spent time and money doing that isn't going to fit in real life on the job site. So we just say, if you're gonna prefab and you got to coordinate, do that in 3D. But if you don't have to coordinate it, you know, oftentimes after the home run box, and you're going to go out to the branch, the lights, the switches, the outlets, you don't have to worry about other trades so much in those walls. Maybe it's a head wall. Yeah, you build that for a hospital and do some multi-trade prefab there. But other than that, you don't have to. So our software is able to provide the user 95% of the information of a 3D model, but at 2D speed. And it's because we're capturing that Z axis, that height of every device. So when you make your connections, we can give you that accurate to connector length, but we're also going to round it to create standard connections, because it's all about using structured data to develop standards that you can then apply very quickly to a bunch of different use cases.
I love that, Matt. If you could kind of articulate that into the talking tracks of, like, if I'm thinking about this conversation at the beginning, I talked about one-way presentations or listening, and we're really trying to string this stuff together into the way system-built construction could work of the three different levels. And that was really an aha moment for me as we were having our pre-interviews of, like, the right type of energy and software into the different levels of blending on-site and off-site construction. What's your take to that, Matt?
I was distracted because Adam is so organized. I was thinking, you know what? I wish a guy would write a platform for me to get my shit together. And so, but yeah, I agree with you completely. It's you see the chaos that happens on a job site. And so, you know, to pause a little bit and have that pre-planning happen. And when Adam describes what he's seeing on his job sites from people who are using the software, it's like, wow. You know, to be able to see this sort of efficiency happen. So Let me just jump back. Well, before we move on a little bit, excuse me, I did want to ask you, one of the things that we talked about in the pre-interview was the data drop chasm, and that is a big topic for Devin. And you addressed that specifically in your pitch slam, but also in our pre-interview. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's important for people to hear.
Yeah, that's a concept that my partner Lonnie helped me figure out. It's the sawtooth effect. And it's not a novel concept, but it's just new to most people. It's as different organizations and people in the process of designing, bidding on, building, and operating a building or a project, you'll build up knowledge. And then when you pass off information, usually on drawings or manuals or in an email, you can only communicate so much. So then the next person in line will have to relearn what you've already done. This also happens for electrical contractors between estimators that might estimate on one software platform, and then the project manager, the detailer, the pre-construction process takes over because it's a different title in just about every organization. And they all do it differently, even though we're all just building the same type of thing, is they'll do that effort in a different software and have to recount all of those devices that were counted initially. And then oftentimes the field, they'll recount again, but they'll do it on paper. And the reason why is because nobody trusts the other person's numbers, and they all want to develop the information themselves so that they know it's right. But that's why we developed what we did, is we've got a tools that help the estimator get their counts better or faster. And then we help the pre-con guy take that and convert that into a more detailed plan, because you have to know exactly what you're going to build and where you're going to put it and what components you're going to buy. But we do it at the assembly level using, you know, an embedded assembly configurator, which is, again, a novel concept for me that Lonnie's really big on, is configurators. And then it goes down to the field, because the field just needs a 2D install sheet with the information they need to know. But in between there, you got the prefab shop and the distributor that need to manage all this material, and they need specific information that they require to do their job best. So it's not like you want to build this one print that's got all this information, but everybody only needs a third of it. It's you provide customized information to each person, and you do it through an automated fashion, because you truly don't have standards unless it's automated. Once it's automated, then the human will follow the path of least resistance, and they'll go to that. And that's how you develop standards.
Yeah, I have to share one quick story of, like, where at the beginning I said, you got to meet the businesses where they are. A very large window company that I've passionately represented for the last 25 years reached out to me, and I commend them. They said, Devin, we want to have our innovation team come out because we think we're in the final stages of being able to scan the windows as they come through your warehouse. And I said, oh, I'm so excited you guys are coming to meet. So like a year ago, they come in and they... all of their systems and their data drop chasm as the manufacturer, the source of truth at where the windows come out of the truck to go into the warehouse. After 2 days of going through that, they're like, wait, what is that? What is that document you're using to hand check off windows? And we're talking a lot of windows for the last 25 years. They're like, we've never seen that document. This analog piece of paper that is on a board that we print from the shipper, and it's our local person makes this document that we locally check off that goes back into our source of truth but goes nowhere back into theirs. And that was a year ago. Still the same way today, because they realize when you look into it how it's made to unwind all this stuff when you get that big is really, really hard. But think about the inefficiencies just of finding the root cause analysis of that problem. I say that was my little window and door company. That actually is how construction is mainly done today. And so, Matt, back to you, we have to think a little bit more about how to move fast and move slow to actually what is going to move the needle here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just want to say a couple things, and then I'm going to throw it back over to Adam. But it's... we talked a little bit about this in the pre-interview, and I don't want to dive into it too far, but what's happened is attorneys in our errors and omissions insurance and our brokers have all scared the shit out of us. And so one of the things that, you know, that Adam mentioned, everybody's got to do their own check, man, and they're all starting from square one. And it's like, okay, well, now, you know, hey, I trust you. You're a nice guy. I've been on drink beers with you, but I'm going to go ahead and count the outlets myself. But to me, that I think is the power of, you know, thinking fast and slow. Because it seems to me, Adam, what you've done is you've slowed the process down for quantification, where it's a trusted and verifiable software platform that then you can speed the process up for quality. What's your take on that?
You're spot on. I was at a contractor just yesterday, and we were talking to the designer and then the prefab coordinator. And they hadn't gotten in a room before and actually understood what they're each doing in the process. And when we sat down and showed them the software, they were like, oh my God. The designer's like, I'm going to save so much time by not having to put all these dimensions on the drawings anymore because your software does it automatically for me. And also, I had all these typical rooms, and I had to build each one of them individually in 3D and then and cut them out and build these isometric drawings. And your software, I could just literally copy and paste all these same rooms, and I could have had this done in minutes, and it took me days. And that was her big aha. And then the next person, the prefab coordinator, said, well, and you have no idea how much time just not having to count those symbols is going to do for me. Because I sit there and I count by hand every single device and every single drawing she gives me. And now I'm not going to have to do that anymore. So I can spend more time working with our apprentices to kick out a better product. And then we're going to use your scope box feature to make sure it's packaged already. So we're going to build, here's how many we have on the entire floor, but here's how we're going to package it up. So we're not giving the field all of this stuff at one time and they're going to have to sit there and manage it. We're going to give it to them as they need it in that just-in-time methodology, so stuff won't get lost, stuff won't get damaged, and we're not going to deliver just to the loading dock. We're going to deliver it into the room where it needs to be installed. And that's way, if you have the material and the information within 5 steps or 5 seconds from the point of install, that's how you address the skilled labor shortage in the field, by planning better in the office. Because not enough people talk about the skilled labor shortage in the office. And we give their people in the field the best and latest and greatest tools to make them more efficient. But if you give a simple piece of software to the detailers and the designers, and they can then collaborate with the field, because there's always those job site realities we have to take into effect, that's that connection. That's that trust that the field will now have in what is being designed by the office. And then when you start delivering just what they need, you know, the day before they need it, then that trust continues to build. And then all of a sudden the mind shifts from the field guy. And he's like, you know what? This prefab thing actually works. And it makes my job easier. And people like easy. So it kind of becomes a pretty easy sell at that point.
And there you have it, folks. There you have the moment in the podcast that becomes the title that puts it all together, titled Packaging It Up. And so that's why we want this podcast first, because in the GUI middle, we're going to talk about how construction versus industrialized construction, what that actually means when you go around advancing prefabrication. And it's a lot of people just there trying to look for a tool to say, shit doesn't work on this end. And it's the data drop chasm. It's like we are so much amazing technology on the very front end, and there's so much, but what about the people in the middle? And that's why I started by saying the municipalities, then reverse engineer to the businesses. But who makes the businesses? The people. And so 7 times for the first time, what should be done in 2D and what should be done in 3D to actually package this
up? From my perspective, if it's being coordinated, you do that in 3D. You know, and if the owner requires, I know, and oftentimes you'll have owners requiring LOD 400 or LOD 500 because they think they need that. They don't actually know what that means. And that is a crazy amount of detail.
I don't know what it is. I need to hear what LOD 400 is. That's like, you're getting into Star Wars shit that I don't, people confuse me. What's LOD 400?
I'll do like I always do. I'll give you the high level and I'll let Lonnie come in behind and clean up my mess. But the idea is, you know, LOD 400, I think that gets into like constructability, and you can, you know, you can build it exactly, you know, to do it that way. LOD 500 is such a higher level of detail. It's like how to mass produce something. And you don't really have to do that in construction. And again, I think I probably just screwed that up, so we'll have to retake that. But it's just, I know the byproduct of that is it takes so much time and so much detail for the 3D model or the Revit guy to get it to that level that it then weighs down the model, which slows down the modeling process for everybody because you don't need that level of detail to construct it. It's like, I want to have my model show the all the buttons on the switch gear, or I want to see the texture of that fabric. Why the hell do you need to see that to construct it? You might need it at the end to know what you built, but you don't need it during the construction process. Matt, do you have something to add there?
But I do want to pause in there and say episode one is packaging it up, like talking about saying, okay, it's pretty simple of garbage in, garbage out. And if the computational design cannot handle it, you're really slowing down the whole thing. That's what I heard from you. And we're all trying to figure out what is the servers, the cloud, the logins, the blah, blah. I only have my phone, my Android, there's so many devices. That's what I'm hearing from you. If you click the button and it doesn't work, you've lost them and they go back to the piece of paper. And then is that actually the source of truth? That's the big picture of packaging it up. The LOD 400 is in the trenches that will learn the acronyms and the stuff around that from Lonnie. That's what I'm hearing from you.
It's just unnecessary detail to get the job done. It's because somebody heard they might need it. And you're like, you don't really need it to get the job done. You know, LOD 300.
I was doing an onboarding with one of our great new employees yesterday, Liz West. And Matt, I go through the timeline history and I show Matt when it was like 5 years ago, shout out to Sim who came in and computational down the whole experience center that we put into a digital model to then meet the physical model. That was such a good exercise to go through, but what a waste for actual usability of actually fully digitizing something. But you kind of got to go through that stuff to understand how hard that is if you're going to do business that way. Matt?
Yeah. I was going to say, when Adam was talking, I was thinking about back to Loewen when we were creating the parametric objects for them and not adding too much information to the model because it would weigh it down. And then architects wouldn't want to come to their website and download those models because it would weigh the whole Revit model down. The other thing that struck me about what you were saying, Adam, is like guys who were mentors for me, you know, I grew up during the hand drawing days, man. You know, before we switched over to ArchiCAD and then Revit, they always used to say, you know, the elder wisdom was don't draw more in the morning than you can erase in the afternoon. And so with your software, you've eliminated that muda from the process, you know, the mud, the sludge from that process, because, you know, all of a sudden you're not having to go back and walk the same trail again. You're absolutely just moving forward where somebody's got that one point source of truth and they can crank away and come up with what they need in the field.
Eliminate the muda from your process. Show 83 released October 12th, 2017. Adam, guess who that guest was?
Matt McMullen?
Matt McMullen. And that's really where it started. And if you go back and listen to that podcast, it was the same Mike Druck moment when I said, I have never heard of LOD 400. I'm interviewing Matt McMullen. And he says, eliminate the muda from your process. And I said, what's muda? And he said, waste. And ever since October 12, 2017, we have been on a quest to remove the waste from the project. I think the outsiders that come in with technology, how their mind works about what waste needs to be eliminated first, it's robots and all this crazy way out thinking stuff. We first got to eliminate when someone sends the plan sets to the phase two, you don't start over at phase two. And when phase two does it start, phase three doesn't start over. And that in lies the customer care wheel that Matt and I built living the art of construction. Until it's coordinated, it's not set. That was the comment I heard from you on our pre-interview that really resonated to me. Of Matt, we talk about the envision, the dream, the feasibility, all this stuff in quadrant one. You have to fast track that. And that's where we fell in love with all these different tools like TestFit and Enscape and all these things that can envision the project to get it to reality. And that's what, Adam, you're helping in the gooey middle of that. Let's talk about a little bit how the call to action, Matt, how ANC Inspire works.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you look through your website, Adam, I mean, there's a clear call to action where you can, if somebody visits your website, they absolutely know that you're a master facilitator for prefabrication, construction, and the process, and you're in the trenches. Can you talk about when someone jumps on your website? So give us the website and then what people will see when they go in there.
Yeah, so just, you know, aecinspire.com. It's pretty simple. And you know, we do several things, right? We have our software, which helps contractors design their projects better, faster, you know, stronger. So you get the right detail you need for the right person at the right time. So you get the right material to the right place at the right time for that skilled tradesman to get in the wall. We also do what we call our manufactured assembly provider network. So in this journey, we come across firms that have extensive prefabrication capabilities, and they've spent millions of dollars building their prefab shops, and they can produce way more than their own projects require. So they have all this excess capacity. So what we've done, and this is one of the reasons why I love going to Advancing Prefab every year, is because you got firms showing up that are just trying to get started and they don't know how to get started. Then you got firms that have started and maybe stalled or are started and doing well and they want to expand. And you got those experts that have been at this for 10, 15 years. And in the electrical space, that's about as old as you get, right? Some people, you know, may have been doing prefab longer than that, but those are rare exceptions. Whereas other trades have been doing this for a long time, like the sheet metal and the mechanical guys. So electrical is really trying to play catch up. And that's where we come in, because you've got these different people on their journey of prefab, and we can help each one, right? So the new guy is trying to get started. They can use our software to rapidly build the plan, and then they can push this little map quote button on our software, and we'll hook them up with a proven prefab provider. And it's typically a contractor that understands the nuance of what is required for that particular project. And then they can provide them proven prefab that's they've tested out themselves. And so it's a very simple transaction where we're just being that middleman and connecting two parties together. Then you also have those folks that have tried to do prefab and have stalled. And it's really because they just can't get that design done fast enough, because they've been doing it through a methodology that just didn't get the information to the right people in time. So they just said, well, we're just going to do it the way we know. So we help them do that. And it's a 2D solution. Oftentimes when you go to these shows, it's all about robotics and 3D. And I don't know how many times I've been told, thank God you guys are here, because I understand 2D. And you just have such a simple spin on it, where you've kind of taken these little tweaks. But the compound effect says that if you make these little tweaks early on, then they continue to build and build and build upon each other. And it goes back to that, I can do my job better, but I can also set up the next person in the workflow to do their job better, faster, stronger. So we're helping those folks detail more so that they can then prefab more and expand their prefab, maybe from single digit field hours to double digit field hours. And then you have those other firms that are really advanced, and they are like, wow, we model everything. I'm like, oh my God, you model your in-wall too? Oh yeah, well, that's because our prefab shop requires that level of detail, that information to be able to execute on our projects. I'm like, actually, they don't. You don't need that. You just need, you know, they need basic information. And let me show you how we do it. And they're like, oh my God, I don't have to model in wall anymore, because you're not typically coordinating that. Again, head walls and maybe wet walls being the exception. But for the most part, you do what you need to coordinate in 3D, and everything else do in 2D. And that even takes us back to the quick turn projects we talked about, the level one early on, just kind of tying back to that. What we'll do is after using our software for about 6 months or so, you can go in there and you can extract out the manufacturing codes that we put in there for the parts and pieces. And when you do that, you can figure out, well, here's the 15 to 20 assemblies that we use 80, 85% of the time. And that's where you can introduce the make to stock assemblies. And this is another thing that Lonnie's taught me over the years. You have your make to stock assemblies. They're the cheapest to build and the fastest to the job site. Then you got your make to order. They're a little more expensive and a little longer to get to the job site. And then you got your engineer to order, your snowflakes out there, that every project might have one or two, but you try to minimize those as much as possible. And once you've classified your assemblies in those three simple levels, it's amazing the mind shift that happens between the foreman, the superintendent, and the project manager. And they say, well, how can we get all of our assemblies to be make to stocks? Because they all want the project to get done quickly, but correctly, so that they can make as much money on that project as possible. So on those service projects, once you've figured out those classifications, instead of your service guy showing up and figuring out, well, here's how many mud rings I need of each size and boxes and all the component parts, and then going and sitting at the counter of the distributor and eating the most expensive popcorn known to man, while they get those component parts and go stick build it on the job site, they can think about it from a prefab perspective. Well, I need this many A assemblies and Bs and Cs and however you classify them. And then they call that ahead. They swing by the prefab shop and they've already pulled them off the shelf and they're ready to go. And you can probably even throw some pre-cut whips in there as well. So then the service works are getting done faster, leveraging prefab, which then again, hopefully results to more profit.
All right. I loved those talking tracks that I want to bring everybody more into the vertical integration, kind of the iron curtain that everybody tries to put out there. And we try to do it the opposite on the Art of Construction of why do we go to these conferences is how does my business connect into the Art of Construction? I didn't hear Adam say this at all on the pre-interview, but this is now that clear call to action. That's what I love. What Adam is the global megaphone for AAC Inspire now coming into the master facilitators where they're really focusing in on the riches and the niches of the E of the MEP. MAP, MAP, Manufacturer Assembly Provider. We all love acronyms in construction. So I had to write that down really quick and hear seven times for the first time of what MAP stands for. It's a network that they created, right, Adam? It's an integrated network. But in your tool, I heard you say, in your tool, once you build a software stack, you can integrate these call to actions from within. You've built a MAP quote provider. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, there's a little button. You hit that. It connects you to me. I reach out to you. I understand what your needs are on that project. And I know who our providers are. And I said, well, here's the best one that you should talk to.
There you have it. So you first start out with the master facilitator and not the MF-er that you think of most of the time in construction, which is just a software guy that is just trying to sell you another software that doesn't know shit about electrical. You heard his story. And that's why I'm going on this tangent to say why I'm excited. Adam is an AOC master facilitator. Because we're that umbrella riding above all of these riches in the niches. And we talk about in our Envision platform as a systems built locator. Well, what does systems built mean? And a lot of people are saying, Devin, this is you're thinking too big. I said, bullshit. Somebody has to think big and we have to think slow and fast to rich in the niche. And that's why we're connecting these things together, because you gotta meet the humans with its digital PDF where they are. And there's this whole thing of like, I've been in 2 years meetings with Bluebeam that we use day to day, and it's like flatten the PDF, raise the PDF, give them this, unlock this, give them that. And the people who use that are like, what's a PDF again? That's cool. I just onboarded somebody last week. You know, that's really cool. You guys do all that stuff. It's really cool. Where's the printer at? Where's the printer at here? How do you guys print this? The AOC IT house also is the other thing. Everyone's like, God dang it, Devin. It's hard to log into your shit. I'm like, because I'm trying to protect you and protect me of our source of truth on the project. Again, helping each other meet where they are. I raise my hand. I would challenge Adam. You're talking electrification in a real way. How many people, when they walk on the job site to become an electrician, do they even know what a head and a wet wall is? Do they really even know what that is when you're talking into that, when you went into system built to say the whole thing, the people that are coming into? I was on the golf course yesterday, guys, and it's fascinating to me. I was recruiting this other consultant, and the other guy in the group, he's like, wait, you're the guy that runs the Art of Construction? He's like, I'm trying to use that. We're trying to import walls from China. And I listened to that and I sent him, Matt, I sent him the Offsite Tech podcast and said, be careful about importing walls from China, of having a stock wall that everybody's going to use. Because do they even really know what the heck a head in a wet wall is? because we're reverse engineering of this advancing prefab conference. Amy Marks talks about her snowflakes that I've had her on the podcast multiple times, but who are the riches in the niches trenches saying, what is the difference between stock and made to order? That is the part where we have to continue to reverse engineer to think fast and think slow. Adam, what other conference do you go to and why advancing prefabrication is the riches in the niches for you?
Yeah, so I attend four conferences a year. So it starts with end of January. We're at the MEP Innovation Conference. This year it was down in Orlando. It's NECA, MCAA, and SMACNA. So it's the sheet metal guys, HVAC, the mechanical, and then the electrical. It's really neat because all the nerds, and I mean that in the nicest way, get together and you talk about what's going on. And again, I mentioned electrical's typically behind, but we're catching up pretty quick with the other trades. And that's really neat because I was sitting there talking to a bunch of electrical contractors about my stuff, and then a sheet metal guy or a plumbing guy will overhear what I'm talking about. I'd be like, show me that. And he's like, holy cow, I could use that too. I'm like, don't worry, it's going to get better too, because you know the difference that I've noticed is in those drawings, you know, their connections are already drawn in and they're just looking to extract that information. In the electrical space, they're not drawn in, so you actually have to draw it yourself. And again, we started with electrical just because it was kind of the best opportunity for us to do the things we're doing. So that's the first conference. And it's really neat to kind of see what everybody else is doing, because, you know, you get myopic and focus on what you do and you kind of lose perspective on what other people are doing. You can draw good ideas from others. The next one is the Advancing Prefabrication. Again, that's where Matt and I met just a couple weeks ago in Denver. And that's really great because you get to see, we are working on a potential partnership with another provider that was right behind us in the booth. And, they're driving big bending machines. They're like, man, we could consume the information from your software and help, our customers, bend more conduit. And we're like, yeah, let's figure that out. Or other software companies that then process the bill of material that we create, right? Because what we're doing is we feel the hard work is developing the bill of material, because it takes so many hours depending on how that's being done. And then, processing the purchase order, if you can make that more efficient, that's also helpful. But that's kind of the easy part of the process in our mind. It's the development of what you need to order that's hard. But you get perspective advancing prefab from those different types of contractors and also other providers of services and understand where they're at. You know, I was right next to a Revit content provider, and it was really neat because a lot of my customers use that provider to help draw in 3D better, but they also recognize that, hey, I'm going to do the 3D stuff over there with them, but I'm going to do everything else 2D with you. So it's a really nice 3D, 2D partnership where people, by being next to them, we're able to have that understanding of how it worked. And it's funny, all the BIM providers were across from me and they kept coming over during breaks and be like, tell me about your software, because maybe we could use this to help our customers get better information for all the stuff that we don't traditionally draw for them, because they're just drawing the big stuff. But that's advancing prefab. And then we obviously go to, our Super Bowl is the NECA show every year. So this coming year, it's going to be in San Diego. Last year, it was in Philly. That's the Union National Electrical Contractors Association. That's the largest trade show in the industry. And then right after that, we always have the IEC show, the Independent Electrical Contractors. So that's the non-union organization. So those are my four shows. And really, it's just all about getting in front of the contractors, getting out there with the other providers, and looking for other software platforms that we can partner with to help the contractor build that efficient tech stack, because they're contractors for the most part, and they don't have time to focus on, well, what's the new software out there. In fact, I was getting a testimonial from one of our users just a couple weeks ago, and he's like, man, every other booth at these shows is a software provider. I don't have time to figure all this out. But, when you talk to a person, he gave us a compliment. When you talk to a guy like Adam that actually comes from the industry and then built software, they understand our problems. And we could tell pretty quickly this is going to help us. And luckily enough, it has helped them. So those are my four big shows we go to and why.
Well, while Adam was talking, I Googled wet wall to look that up. And apparently it's the wall behind the urinals in the men's restroom. I guess it's like an accuracy thing. But anyway, on a serious note, this is a question that we ask everybody that comes on the AEC pod or AOC podcast. And we've gotten lots of answers over the year. 10 years in, I'm really curious to hear what you have to say. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
For us, you know, we're using machine learning today through our inspired search feature to help people count symbols on drawings much faster than ever before. And we've got, you know, a myriad of differences how we're doing that. You know, multiple symbols on multiple sheets at all different angles, and the colored circles to help you adjudicate if that's right or wrong, and how it all works is really, again, I give Lonnie and Mike, our experts in that regard, all the credit in the world for conceptualizing it, and Abhishek and his team for developing it. And so we're leveraging machine learning to do that. And you know, our head of development was dropping me off at the airport last week, and he's like, hey, should we help use our machine learning to take this other information that's on the drawings and automatically put it into the device for the user? Or should we work on, the exporting and the cutting and pasting of these scope boxes to, produce the 11 by 17 install drawings? And I said, well, it sounds like the first thing is more time consuming for the user. Let's focus our energies there. And he's like, yeah, that's what everybody's saying. So that's what we're going to work on next. So it's leveraging machine learning and getting to true artificial intelligence to help the software design things, produce that first draft for the human. So when they come into a design, they're not just starting with a blank canvas and then having to, highlight and click and type into Excel all the devices you found, which is like the old school method. It's hopefully the AI is going to be able to say, all right, here's your drawings. We've understood what you typically do to your drawings. Here's a first pass at, these are the assemblies we think that you want on these symbols. This is where we think we should, put your junction boxes and how we should connect everything up. So letting the machine do some of that just high level thinking based upon what it's learned from your past efforts. So get that first draft out there and turn the human being from an author and an editor to really just an editor. All right, fix that last 10% of that design that the machine might not have gotten perfect, because each project is truly unique. And you have to have that flexibility to adapt what you've done in the past for the current use case. So that's what we're focused on, is how can we leverage, true AI to start making those decisions for the human, but letting that editor come in there and tweak it for the last mile and make sure you're giving the right deliverables for that next person in the workflow.
Devin, you want to bring us home with your final question?
Yeah, Adam, great stuff. We're super inspired of really where you're meeting the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, where they are. What is the one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates who this platform is for to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I mean, if you're an electrical contractor and you're looking to become more profitable on your projects, just check us out. Go to acinspire.com, click the, book a meeting with me, or send me an email, adam@acinspire.com. My phone number's on the website too. Just reach out. Let's have a conversation. Because that's what I love to do. I love to talk to contractors. You could be the president of an organization. You could be a superintendent or a foreman that's just looking to do things differently and anywhere in between. So if you're looking to just change things, because, I love hearing the words, this is how we've always done it. I'm like, tell me more about that. Because I'm not an expert. I've just been around a lot of really smart people. And my job has been to consume their information and then try to present it back to people in terminology and systems that they understand. And that's really kind of my unique ability, is just kind of trying to meet people where they're at, whether you're a tradesperson out in the field, or you're a techie person. Again, you're probably more techie than me, or you're running an organization. How can we talk in those certain terms that just help you understand how you can do things more efficiently and more effectively? We're focused on electrical today, but we're also going to be moving into those other trades in the future, and it's going to be a fun time. So we're looking for those partners to help us figure it out, but also for partners where we can help them figure out what we've already got, because we're not doing stuff that's brand new and novel every day. Everybody's kind of doing the same stuff. So when you work with us, we're going to help sprinkle in those best practices and ask you questions that help you think differently. And hopefully after those conversations, you come out of that just a little more efficient And because, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So let's start biting off small chunks and help you, you know, start doing one thing better that can compound into something else. And if you look back over a couple years, you'll be amazed at what you've done versus you sit here and think about, oh, I got to do all this stuff. Well, just let's just get started. And it starts with a conversation.
Love it. Adam, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. Any last words from you, Matt, and then I'll bring us home.
No, Adam, thanks, man, for jumping on here. A lot of value in what you talked about.
Thanks for being here.
So I want to close this out by starting off by one of my big notes that I took down when Adam was sharing his gold was I really want to create a call to action to where this fall we're having a AOC Master Facilitator Meetup, which is really around how to utilize technology and meet us all where they are. And the key comment that he said for that is, let's do this differently instead of having the most expensive popcorn sitting at the counter at the distributor randomly. Let's create more time to work on your business with the master facilitators. And that's really what Adam is doing a wonderful job. And when he says reach out, let's have reach out and let's work together to where we're having this retreat in the fall, and we'll put this stuff in the show notes, is an AOC MFer meetup talking about BIM to handshakes. Because there's so many catch-alls as we talked about, but first let's draft it through the humans and then use computational design to map this thing out with the MFers together. And really understand which are the code words you need to understand of NECA and MF and advanced prefab, or I'm joint hosting with Jason Blanker the AEC Tech Summit in Austin here in a month. And we're going to have all kinds of podcasts releasing from that to go into these different silos and bring those out. And these are with the people, not the MFers that most of this industry thinks of. And at the end of the day, his MAP, the manufacturer assembly provider, the thing that I've learned of 25 years of trying to integrate tech into our business, we truly want to find these answers, and the answer is not one silver bullet. The answer that we're working at these vertically integrated retreats is for you to leave there and say, I have a software for that. But to say I have a software for that is not one silver bullet. It's I have a plug-in to that. I have a plug-in to that. And I love how he's electrifying this thing and starting with electrical and saying, I would challenge us all. I have heard so much about AI on all of the people reaching out to me saying, let's do a podcast about AI. And I say, no, let's do a podcast about how machine learning is not AI and it's not a silver bullet today. But how do we get inspired in the AEC industry to actually break this stuff down and put it all together? Adam, we commend you what you and your team are doing to inspire us through AEC Inspire. And we can't wait to see where this goes, starting with electrifying all of this stuff and taking all this and putting it together to meet the businesses, the municipalities, and most importantly, the MFers where they are. Crush it out there, tribe.